Good morning. My name is Robert Williams. I'm the assisting pastor here at the church at Whistling Pines. I want to welcome you all here today. I'm going to speak to you this morning our final message from the book of Galatians. And then we've got a couple or three special messages over the next few weeks. Pastor Scott and then a special guest that will remain a secret for a little while. You're going to have in a few weeks. This morning, I want to talk to you out of Galatians chapter 6. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to start at verse 6. Lights, please. They're coming up. Did I foul up the programming? Maybe it lost its... Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 6 and read the passage and then we'll get into the message. It says, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I'm going to read the final passage just so that we cover it. Verse 11 through the end of 18. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Galatians 6:6. He says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. What is that saying to us? And what application do we have in that today? Well, to me, this establishes, and there are several scriptures that establish a principle of supporting ministers of the gospel with finances and with provision. Another one that comes to mind is, it says, do not muzzle the ox who treads out the grain, that those who labor among you are worthy of honor, speaking of the elders and pastors of the church. And so to start with, this is what we think about, isn't it, when we talk about sowing and reaping, often is giving to the church to be able to support the ministry. And I'm going to touch just so lightly on that today, that God does promise to bless us when we give. Bill, that was an excellent exhortation this morning on giving and how to give and with what attitude and why we give. But that is not the main reason why we should give. It's just so that the pastors can get paid. We enjoy getting paid. We need the ability to be able to labor among you freely. Scott and myself work other jobs to help in that endeavor, so that we provide part of our own needs, so that it is not such a burden on the ministry. Pastor Sean is solely dependent on our tithes and offerings for his salary to be able to provide for him, based on this scripture in Ephesians 6, right here. So I wanted to touch that, and that's kind of where I'm going to leave that one and move on. The next half of that verse says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Or the NIV said, God cannot be mocked. God's law, his universal power, his supreme rule over us and the universe, he is in such a place that his will be done. He will not be mocked. And anything that we do to try and minimize or to negotiate or to come before his presence with anything in our flesh or anything less than the way he has told us is not going to fly. His laws and principles remain true and cannot be altered. And this principle of sowing and reaping that I'm going to talk about this morning is one of those unalterable laws of the universe that God has set in motion, has placed in his creation, and it permeates everything that exists, sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, the seasons, the cycles of life. It is part of this whole creation of God, and he is the author of it. He is the designer of it, and he will not be mocked. You cannot get around him. You cannot get around these laws. Many men have tried. Many men have thought they were going to make some kind of deal with God, or that they could somehow fool God into doing what they wanted him, get him to do what they wanted. It doesn't work that way. We don't negotiate with God. We don't cut deals with him. He doesn't work that way. And we have nothing to offer him in a deal anyway, really, right? What are we offering when he has everything? So do not be deceived. You're not going to fool God. You're not going to lie to God. You're not going to in any way mock him. He knows it all before it happens. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows the end from the beginning. He will not, he cannot be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Choose. All through the Bible, we're offered choices. Choose life or choose death. Choose blessing or choose cursing. Joshua said to the people of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a choice that you have to make. Will you serve God? Will you obey his law? Or will you attempt to mock him? Will you choose to serve yourself? Will you serve your flesh and your immediate comfort and your immediate desire? Or will you serve God and what he has put out for you to, the way that he has put out for you to live, the way he has given us? What are we sowing? Are we sowing to the Spirit or are we sowing to the flesh? Let us not lose heart in doing good. Discouragement comes, doesn't it? And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, but sometimes we expect everything to just be okay immediately. That if I just do this, then God's going to fix it right now. And it's, you know, again, we're trying to make some kind of deal with God. We're trying to play on emotion or something that, you know, I need something right now. I want it right now. And so I'm going to expect something right now, but he says, don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. There's a principle here that we're going to look at. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's a little bit of elevation there, isn't it? To our brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, the church. Paul is not insinuating. He's saying here, we should do good to all people, but especially we should be doing good to one another and to those who are of the body of Christ and those who are in the faith with us. He's elevated the church in that phrase right there. It's a natural law at play. As I said, God has set his laws in the universe and they cannot be broken. They cannot be mocked. They cannot be altered. So what is in the natural law that we see? And it was established in Genesis. God created the earth and you know all of that. And he had everything to come forth. And he said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their own kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. As I said, the whole earth and everything, the cycle of life, is based on this principle of sowing seed, waiting for a season, and reaping a harvest. It's a cycle. Sowing seed, waiting for a season, and reaping a harvest. See in this verse that when we sow, we reap in kind. The grass and the grain of the field, the corn and the wheat. When you plant wheat seed, you get wheat. When you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant apple seeds, you'll get apple trees. And in 4, 5, 6 years later, you'll get apples. Same with everything, right? If it has seed in it, that seed is designed. It has the DNA, the material in it to produce exactly the same thing that it came from. The same in us. Human seed, the DNA is in the seed put with the egg, and you're going to get after the same kind that you started. The genetics, it's all designed by God to produce the same kind as what it came from. The seed produces fruit after its kind. You can't get pomegranates from a fig tree. Now, man, we all know about GMO, and oh, GMO, no GMO, you know, genetically modifying things to produce strange stuff and to try to get, you know, but that's man monkeying with God's design. We can expect the harvest the same blessings or curses as we sow. You're going to get the same thing back as whatever it is that you're planting, whatever it is you're sowing. And this applies to finances, but it applies to so much more. You're going to get back based on what you have sowed. Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind, it says in Proverbs. That's kind of a quote. My grandmother used to quote that one all the time. It was one of her favorite little sayings. Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. We also are going to sow and reap in proportion and in faith. Notice I didn't say in proportion to our faith. That's a little twist of words that some folks have used, that we're going to reap in proportion to our faith. No. We're going to sow in proportion, and we're going to reap in proportion, and we're going to reap in faith. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 10, it says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We celebrate this verse every Sunday. We believe in expressing that joy and at least putting forth an effort to be cheerful, right, in our giving. And this is what I really want you to focus in on. And I want to ask you to read this next phrase out loud slowly with me, because I want it to sink into your heart. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. How much? All, every, all of it. How many times does he say that in there? He's able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you have an abundance for every good deed. Does that lack anything? Is there anything left out? It's all and everything. Who is able? God is able. God is able. Is it dependent on us? Is this part of it dependent on us at all? No. This part of it is not dependent on us. It is all in God. Now, there's some things that are dependent on us, and I'm gonna bring that in. We do have to do some things. But as far as the ability, as far as the provision, as far as what is there for us, it is all there. He scattered abroad. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Talking about the abundance for every good deed. What are the good deeds? Scattering abroad. That's sowing. You know, sowing is not planting in a row. You know, row farming came into existence later with certain crops, and we, you know, you separate the rows, and that's mainly so you can get animals down through the rows to plow, and you put everything in a row and you space everything out. That's not sowing. That's planting. Sowing is scattering the seed abroad. It's throwing the seed to broadcast it out into a field, into a wide area, into a big field. That's the sowing. And so it says here, he scattered, as sowing the seed. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. This last part of this passage is so important. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So he's going to give us the seed. He's going to put the seed in your hand for you to sow. Often when we give, we think, I don't have anything to give. God, there's nothing. I have nothing here to give. Ask the Lord of the harvest to give you a seed. He will provide. He promises right here, all this whole passage, that he will give you the seed to be able to plant it. Now, there's a temptation. God put seed in your hand, and you have needs. You have stuff you want to do. Back to this sowing in the flesh. What do you do with that seed? Do you plant it, or do you eat it? Do you consume it for yourself? No. When you are in that situation, you ask God, he will give you something to sow, and you sow that in faith and wait for the harvest, rather than taking it for yourself. Isaac, I looked for some biblical examples of this sowing and reaping, and I found just one that I wanted to share with you. Isaac, Abraham's son of promise that became the father of many nations. In Genesis 26, 12 and 13, when Isaac had married and was gone out, you know, that whole story, he's beginning the family of Israel. And it says that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. There are all kinds of examples. Of course, Abraham, his father, God blessed him. God chose to be for Abraham to be his friend, and he blessed him with abundance. And this was carried on through Isaac and throughout the children of Israel. In many different places, you see men who God blessed in this way. But this directly applied to the passage that we're looking at today. And it's tied to obedience. And again, as I said, there are some things that we have to do. We don't just take this for granted and think, well, this is a law of God and nature, and I can just do it, and it's just going to work for me, and I'm going to manipulate it to my own use. No, God requires obedience. In Leviticus 26, he goes through all this list of things that they're to do and not to do, and then he tells them, if they disobey, they will sow their seed uselessly, and their enemies will eat it up. So it is tied to obedience. We must be walking in obedience. We must be keeping God's commandments. We must be sowing to the Spirit, as it said in Galatians. We must sow to the Spirit and not sow to the flesh. Because if we are sowing to the flesh and expecting something for ourselves, and we're doing it for selfish gain, it's going to fail. God says your enemies will eat it up. And he tells Israel later in Micah, when they were being disobedient and they were far from God, he said, and this is kind of the worst thing to watch. Okay, they're going to labor. They're going to plant, and they're going to labor, and they're going to see the harvest, because it says, you will sow, but you will not reap. You will tread the olive, but will not enjoy anointing yourself with oil. And you will tread the grapes, but you will not drink the wine. You're going to do all the work, and somebody else is going to take the blessing. They're going to take the harvest because you're not doing it in obedience, because it was not unto me in the Spirit by faith before God. It was for other reasons, or because you are living in disobedience to me. You're not keeping my commandments. You're not serving me with your whole heart. This is what will happen. And as someone prayed or said this morning, it's not about punishment. No, these are just consequences. This is the way this law works. It's not punishment. It's just, if you do it this way, it turns out this way. If you do it this way, it turns out that way. It is a spiritual and natural consequence of the laws that God has set in motion. So what seeds are we sowing this morning? What kind of seeds should we be sowing into our own lives and into the lives of people around us? And you're going to recognize these fairly quickly, I think. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. That same familiar? Those are the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about in Galatians 5. See, it's all related. It's all tied together. The fruit of the Spirit has seed in it, and we're to spread that seed if we want to reap a harvest of these things. Because remember, the seed produces fruit after its kind. If we want love, we got to sow love. If we want joy, we got to sow love, joy. And so on and so forth. What about the flesh? If we're sowing strife, you know, there's some people who just thrive on conflict. I work around some folks, and it's like they just can't be happy without there being some kind of conflict going on, or some battle to fight, or some cause, or, you know, and there's just always strife, striving. This is the worst one. And this can infect us. And then you sow it and you infect other people. Discontentment. How many folks walk around and they're so discontented with their life? They're discontent with their husband or with their wife, with their job, with their church, with their pastor, with their children. They just can't be content with anything. They're just miserable. And they're discontentment, and then they sow that discontentment to others and make others feel discontented as well and get other people infected with it. And pretty soon it becomes this huge harvest of discontentment, that seed. And it can be just a one little thing that you get dissatisfied about, and you let it grow. And then it's like weeds in the middle of your wheat field. The Bible talks about the tares and the wheat, and it multiplies discontentment, and it makes everybody just miserable because you just can't seem to find a place of being at peace. And again, the fruit of the Spirit, because you're just discontent and nothing will please you. Nothing. Discord. The Bible talks very clearly and plainly about this. It says there's six things God hates, seven is abomination, and the worst one in that list is he who sows discord among the brethren. And this is kind of related to strife and discontentment in the church. Folks that just stir up stuff in the church and among the brethren, always stirring something up and creating discontentment and discord and pitting people against each other and gossip and backbiting and instead of sowing the fruit of the Spirit. What are we sowing and what are we reaping? Confusion. You ever been around somebody that everything can be going great and this person just walks into the room and starts talking, and within a matter of seconds, everybody's confused, and everything is just so out of whack and confused. It's a spirit of confusion just takes over. Have you ever been in that situation? I have. There are a couple of people that I just, you know, it's like, because it's just confusion. The communication that comes out of them creates a confusing feeling, an attitude or atmosphere, and everything just gets confused. Rebellion. You can, you know, again, rebellion to authority is a seed that you can infect others, and rebellion against governments or against the boss at work or whatever. In the home, children, rebellion. Parents, you can sow the seeds of rebellion in your children, and then they're going to rise up against you. If they see you in rebellion, then you're sowing that. You're going to reap that. They're watching you. Children hear best with their eyes. They hear what you say by what they see you doing, not by the words that you speak to them. Hatred, and I go ahead and put prejudice and those things. We can sow those things. And then they grow, don't they? They grow into this harvest and overwhelm the good things. The weeds, the tares that grow up in the middle of our field. So what are we sowing? To the Spirit or to the flesh? The other thing we see in this whole principle is multiplication. Everything gets multiplied. You know, you start with this one seed, and then it gets multiplied by 10, 100, 1,000 fold. The Bible talks about folding. And, you know, if you take a piece of paper, and it's not just about doubling it, because every time you fold it, it's exponential, isn't it? You know, you go from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32 to 64 and Ms. Mathematician up to whatever power, pretty soon you got a lot of folds in that piece of paper if you can keep folding it. Take corn, for example. That's something we're all familiar with. I grew up in farming and corn. You know, one kernel of corn, you plant it, it comes up, grows a corn stalk, maybe 8 or 10 feet tall sometimes. I mean, the corn gets pretty tall. But on that corn stalk, there's typically only 2 or 3 good ears of corn. And you think it's a great big stalk, but there's only those 2 or 3 corn. Remember, it came from one kernel. All right, so we're going to use 3 There's three ears of corn on that stalk. How many kernels do you think are in each one of those ears? You ever counted the kernels on a ear of corn? Well, Google says actually 6 to 1,200 is what they said, but probably typically about 800 kernels of corn on an ear. And then we got three ears of corn on a stalk. That's a, now I'm dead. Hey, thank you. Now we got somewhere between 1,600 and 24 kernels of corn from one. That's some multiplication, isn't it? Exponential. So whatever you sow is going to come back multiplied many, many, many times. Okay, I said I was going to touch on this. There's two theological ideas at work. And sometimes we see these as opposing each other. And, you know, this Christian world is sometimes divided into two camps, the Calvinists and the Arminianists. And the Calvinists believe everything depends on God. I tend to be Calvinist. Yes, I do. I really just trust God. And as long as I serve Him with my heart, I just don't think too much depends on me sometimes, although I know that there's a certain amount that it does. But so Calvinists, it's all about the sovereignty of God. The Arminianist, oh, it's man's free will, man's choices and man's decisions that has to happen in order for salvation, even that it lies with man. And Calvinists, and there's this great debate that's gone on theologically for centuries and centuries about, is it God's sovereignty or the free will of man? Well, it's both. Somewhere in the middle, it's both. There is human responsibility in this sowing and reaping. We must sow the seed. When God gives us the seed, we have to sow it. We have to tend the field. In the end of Genesis, after the curse, or not the end of Genesis, at the end of the creation story, after the curse, and Adam was sent to the field, he said, by the sweat of your brow, you will till the ground and eat your bread. We have to work, don't we? We're not excused from working in this principle of sowing and reaping. You know, we still have to work. We have to tend the field. We have to take care of our business. You know, you've heard that. Mind your business. Take care of what God has given you. Watch over it. Keep the weeds down and water, you know, you can water it when it needs water and fertilize, do, you know, till it and take care of it. And then in the end, when the harvest comes, it's up to you to harvest it, isn't it? In this, we are responsible for the consequences of our decisions. When things happen, we tend to want to just blame somebody else. Blame, you know, our parents, or blame the government, or blame the president, or, you know, on every bad thing that happens. Or sometimes blame God. When really, we are reaping what we sowed, and what we tilled, and what we cared for, and what we put our efforts into, it's coming back to us, whether it was good or whether it was bad. It's consequences. These natural consequences of our actions are immutable. God will not be mocked. You will sow, reap what you sow. So it's that part of it is on us and our choices and our free will to choose to sow seeds of the fruit. Can't talk. The words are there, but it's not coming out right. Seed, the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Sow those seeds, not the others. Make that choice and you will receive that back. But the other side of this, and you know, this is back talking about finances and talking about relationships and the work of the Spirit of God. Not only is there man's responsibility, but then there is God's sovereignty. It is God who provided the seed. We're dependent on Him for everything. It depends on Him to provide the seed as He promised He would do. It's God who reigns on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. He provides the sunlight and the seasons for growth. And ultimately, it's the Bible says, and it's God who gives the increase. He does that in His sovereignty. But it's always not in contradiction to His laws that He has put into work, into play in the universe, in the natural and spiritual law. I'll talk very briefly about harvest and gleaning. And this is a little off the subject, but it's tied to the harvest side of things, and it's back to the end of the doing good deeds and remembering the poor. And I spoke to you about remembering the poor one of the last time, whether it was last time or time before, about remembering the poor. In Leviticus, there's a principle that was set out for Israel about gleaning. In Leviticus 19 and 9 and 10. Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. If you're familiar with this concept, during harvest, most of the time you go in and get the easy ripe fruit at the time, you know, at the season, and they'll hire sometimes they hire people. Remember the parable where Jesus talked about hiring people to work in the morning and mid-morning and midday in the afternoon? They all went to the field to work. That's because it was harvest season and the harvest needed to come in quickly. Once the fruit is ripe, it needs to be gotten. Once the grain is ready, it needs to be gotten out of the fields quickly. But there's always some that falls. You know, there's some that's, quote, wasted or that's left in the field. And then there's the corners. Like with modern machinery, the big combines, when they, you know, harvest a field, you can't turn that thing on a dime, and you go around in a circle, and it's going to leave little corners. Of course, modern people try to plant in such a way but the corners are left. This is talking about leaving those for those who do not have to come and glean from your abundant harvest, to have something to give, or something that's designated as a part of your harvest for giving. So when you harvest, don't take it all for yourself. Designate a part of it to begin with for giving, to help the poor. I want to leave you with an eternal perspective on all this. There's a significant gap of time between sowing the seed and reaping the harvest. It's a time of waiting. It's a time of wondering, maybe. Sometimes doubt can creep in. You know, will I see the harvest? What kind of harvest will we have? There's a period of time when, you know, if rains don't come, we might not get any. The harvest could be lost. There's all kinds of factors between the time you plant the seed and the time that you reap the harvest. There's a spiritual application here. Now, Jesus Christ was given as God as a seed. The first fruits, the Bible talks of them that slept, and He died on a cross and was buried in the ground as a seed, to be the first fruit of a great harvest of souls of mankind. He died so that we could follow after Him and be that harvest. And the Bible tells us one day He will come with His sickle in His hand to harvest those who have given their lives to Him. But there's a time period where we're waiting. The seed was planted, and now we're in that transition of growing, and there's, you know, the times that the weeds are coming, and there's all kinds of droughts and pests and things that we have to deal with in this life. But it says all creation longs for His coming, for that day when He will come and harvest. We're longing for that day, and we're in one of those periods of, Lord, when will the harvest come? It's time. It seems like all things are ready. And we pray, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. He may and he may not. Again, that is in God's hands. His sovereignty decides when the time is ready for the harvest. This period of waiting can be a time of anxiety and restlessness, not knowing the precise time that the harvest will be ready, and always having to watch the crop. We have to, you know, stand guard over it and watch it to see that, so that when it's ready, you know, the Bible talks about keeping oil in your lamps, the virgins, and being ready for when he comes as a thief in the night, to always be watching and waiting and ready so that when the time comes, we're ready. We're found waiting for him. Mentioned during that time, we have to fight off pests and diseases and all kinds of things in our lives, waiting for the time of the harvest to come. But he promises us in that scripture, he promises we will reap if we do not faint. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And I want to leave you with this as a challenge. Sow your seed. Yes, finances, but more importantly than sowing those seeds of finances, sow seeds of the fruit of Spirit. If you want to see the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life and in the life of those around you, whether in your family, here in the church, at work, wherever, sow those seeds of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what we will reap, is fruit of the Spirit. On the other side, guard yourself. Guard yourself and learn when things are coming out of your mouth that are sowing the seeds of the flesh, of discontentment, of discouragement, of whatever, those out of that list, and even more, there's a longer list than that. Be careful of what we're sowing into the lives of our children, into our families, into our workplaces, into our church, because whatever we sow is what we will reap. Do you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would teach us, God, about sowing and reaping. Lord, help us to be ever watchful over what kind of seed we're sowing. Lord, help us to be watchful over the crop that you give us to till and to care for. Lord, our jobs, Lord, the resources that you give us, that we would tend it and care for it and watch over it and expect you to bring a harvest. Lord, I pray for our church as we go through this week, that you would just bless every family, every home, every person represented. Lord, that you would bless them with a harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.